Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard. You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalktainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalktainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalktainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty, welcome to the January the 16th, 2019 edition of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr., and I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard via TalkTainmentRadio.com. Now, if you would like to get involved with the program, we certainly would like for you to do that. You can call 1-877-932-9766. You can also do this. You can go to the YouTube channel and type in the word Talktainment, and I believe hit the space bar, and then you can type in the word radio. Scroll down to Talktainment number 2, and guess what? You are there. If you'd like to write to the show, you can do so by doing this. The numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. And hopefully I could get a chance to read it. Facebook.com/Talktainment is another way. Facebook.com, that is, /Talktainment is another way to get to the program. But we would prefer that you go to the TalktainmentRadio.com homepage. And all you have to do is click Listen Live and whammo, you're there. Hit the subscribe and like button. Okay, got all of that out of the way. On the January the 16th, 2019 edition, this is called Phone Calls and Gmails Volume 1, which means there should be a Volume 2 or Volume 3. And before we get started today, on today's program, I'd like to pay close attention to this, that 55 years ago today, I believe, four girls were murdered in Birmingham, Alabama by the KKK. Denise McNair, Carol Robertson, Cynthia Wesley, and Addie Mae Collins, all killed in that bombing in Birmingham, I believe it was, 55 years ago today. Just keep that in your thoughts. All righty. Today, phone calls and Gmails, Volume 1, what we're going to do is have Mr. Fuller address the Gmails that I do have, and he will do that, and also take your phone calls. I think we have somebody on getting ready to call now, but what we'll do, we'll have him address all those issues. There is no specific topic other than that. So, Mr. Fuller, let me say, as I usually do, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
You are still learning. Okay. Hey, you know what? Before I start on the phone calls and Gmails, was there or is there a particular news item, because I know you read various publications, was there a particular news item or something that stood out to you that you would like to address before we get started?
Well, definitions. Recently in the news, what is meant by white supremacist or white supremacy, what is meant by white nationalism, and what is meant by Western civilization. I've been talking about white supremacy. My book title, one of the complementary or supplementary titles, is about white supremacy. The entire book is about the system of white supremacy, what to do about it. As a world government, it is the only world government, in my opinion, that exists here in 2019. There is no other government other than, in capital letters, the system of white supremacy. So recently, I've been seeing the term white supremacy being used more and more in the news. And here again, recently, in the last, I'll say, 6 weeks, it has become almost like center stage in a lot of the discussions. But very few people given a very concise or broad or in-depth explanation of what it is, how it works, or even a popular definition. And then you throw in white nationalism and what that means. I'm not sure what other people would have it mean. I say racism is white supremacy. White supremacy is racism. You don't need to go any further than that. But these three terms have become prominent in the news, and I understand on Capitol Hill in the last few days, according to the reports that I have read, some member of the legislature has used the terms.
Steve King, I think it was.
Yes,
King, out of Iowa.
From Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And has been called to my attention. And there's a lot of controversy about him doing that, using the terms. It's kind of controversial about what context, according to him, the terms were used. But anyhow, it's almost like the term should not be used even in a discussion. But I believe the term should be used all the time, because if you're talking about government, you're talking about white supremacy. That's the only government. There is no other government, according to compensatory counter-racist logic. So the word shouldn't be hushed up, in my opinion. They should be talked about, and whether or not they should, these words should refer to a situation that does exist or doesn't exist or should exist or should not exist, and that should be done thoroughly in all venues of people interaction everywhere on the planet. It should be daily discussion and get that nailed down. What is it? Whether or not it should exist, whether or not it shouldn't exist, and why? And does it exist? And what does it produce? What does it produce in all areas of activity? What should it produce? What should be the result of it, etc.? It should be talked about thoroughly, in my opinion. And that's just one thing that's been on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
There's an editorial in this morning's Washington Post, in the editorial page. I think that I don't have it in front of me, but it says, kind of paraphrases something out of the movie Casablanca that I'm always referring to, where the character Captain Renault says, "I'm shocked to find that there's gambling going on here." And so in the editorial page this morning, one of the headlines on the bottom of the editorial page is something similar to that, paraphrasing, saying, shocked. To find that there's racism going on here, referring to the legislator, Mr. King's remarks.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. All righty. All right. Very, very good. If you get a chance during break, maybe you can get that article there in the Washington Post. Okay. Let's do this. Let's go to a phone call. Okay, caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Still learning.
That's great. My question is concerning the recent events about the R. Kelly scandal. I would like for you to know, or I would like to find out, what would be the correct codified response to the black community concerning this issue? A lot of people in the black community are concerned with the charges brought against R. Kelly, rightfully so. If he has done these things, he should be charged. But should the black community now decide to not so much jump on the bandwagon and down R. Kelly, but is it correct for us to put out there that there are other individuals who are charged with these same crimes and charged before him, before Bill Cosby, but it seems as if all the black men that are being charged with this crime are being put towards the forefront? What is the correct way to address this issue?
Well, the codified position is and has been and will be, in my opinion, what I've written in the textbook for victims of white supremacy and in all of my broadcasts and discussions about it. You just simply say, you don't have to just pick out incidents. You just broad brush it, because in the system of white supremacy, these things are manifest anyway. They are built into the system itself. Kidnapping, rape of all types is the essence of the system of white supremacy itself. I mean, so you don't have to just cite incidents and say, oh, I'm shocked and shocked and shocked. I mean, about this is happening and that's happening. Black people are doing this and white people are doing this. You just simply say the whole society, the entire system of government, all nine areas of activity support all of this type of behavior in the system of white supremacy. That's what it is. It's based on rape, mass rape. You rape whole continents. You seduce people. You lie to people. You do all kinds of things that shouldn't be done in the system of white supremacy. And not only do you do these things, you glorify it in your history books. Slaughter people. And then stand there, you know, with your foot on their chest, the dead bodies, and, you know, and tear open your shirt and beat on your breast and say, this is a great thing. I'm a conqueror. I'm an explorer. I'm a discoverer. I am a person that goes around with sword in hand all the time. Everybody's got a sword. Oscar has a sword. Robert E. Lee has a sword. You got the bird of prey called the American Eagle. That's a bird of prey. You see it sitting on top of a flagpole. Now, the flag is supposed to be, quote, unquote, representative of peace and harmony and justice and unity and everybody getting along. But on the top of many flagpoles up over the flag itself, you will see a statue or a statuette of an eagle, and it's called the American Eagle. Now, what is an eagle known for? A bird of prey. It pounces down on helpless creatures. The eagle eye, I mean, they see everything. I mean, it soars up high and sweeps down and sinks its claws into some smaller animal. It's known for that. Well, that's the nature of an eagle, you know, but should that be the nature of people? And should that be a symbol of a whole people? An eagle or any bird of prey? You would think that mostly it would probably be some other creature that doesn't prey on other creatures, if you're going to use that as a symbol. But in a nutshell, in answer to your question, the code says, under the system of white supremacy, many people have been harmed who should not be harmed. There's four things is in the textbook that you, and when things like this come into a discussion, you can just always go to those four things. Many people have been harmed who should not be harmed. Whether who did what on what given day and all like that. You just say that. That's number one. Number two, many people are to blame. Black people are to blame for things that they do that shouldn't be done. So you say many people should be blamed, are to blame. Number three, the people who are most to blame, underline most, are hiding in plain sight. That includes a whole lot of people who call themselves priests, as an example. All right? Been doing it. Not only for a week or two or something like that, but for hundreds of years, possibly a couple of thousand at least. All right? Priests out there waving candles around and burning incense and speaking in all types of so-called holy language and whatnot. Don't let them get a little boy back there in that rectory. You find out what real reality really is and what that religion is all about, maybe. I mean, look into that while you're doing all these other things. And then number three is the people who are most to blame are hiding in plain sight. That would be most of the white supremacists on the planet. They're guilty of just about everything you can name when it comes to all kinds of seduction and all types of deception and all type of sexual follies, you might call them, whatnot. And then the last statement is the people who are most to blame are all white supremacists. Now, those four things are in the textbook. And you can, in answer to that, the question, the caller's question, you can always just go to those four things. Say, oh, I can cover that. I mean, slammed up. Whatever. Because there'll be more things coming up. I mean, you know, just thing after thing. You know, this black celebrity, this black rapper, this black person, this black congressman, this black, you know, did this and did that. Well, look at who raised everybody who is on the scene now. Look at the most powerful people on earth who have the most powerful minds on earth and who set all this up and who have glorified it like forever. And then when it happens, you get this, I'm shocked to find that this is going on here. Well, you got a system of white supremacy. What does that mean? Stay shocked about that each and every minute of each and every day. And then replace it with a system of justice, which will be shocking since you have never seen it. I have never seen it. I've heard about it. Doesn't even have a decent definition.
All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, and religion, and, of course, politics. Now, here's one that I'm going to share with you. Now, for all of you who just love jazz, listen, TalkTainment Radio has the Jazz Showcase Show with Ed Dozier. Now, it's on Saturdays and Sundays here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. And if you love that, to take a break from all the stuff that goes on in the news and you want to hear some sounds straight ahead, smooth, and all the genres of jazz, tune in right now to The Jazz Show with Ed Dozier, Saturdays and Sundays exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com. And as a matter of fact, you can go to the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage and click on programs and see a list of all the programs that TalkTainmentRadio.com has to offer, the dates and the time, and a little bio of all the people that run those or host those programs. All that and more from TalkTainmentRadio.com. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, and I am the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And today, January the 16th, 2019, we have entitled the program Phone Calls and Gmails, Volume 1. And we just had Mr. Fuller address a caller. We were going to do a Gmail, but we have another caller on the line, so we will take that caller. Caller, you are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Can I be heard? Hello?
Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Fuller and a short comment. Mr. Fuller, what is the correct way to handle a situation where someone has made a falsehood, or when people make falsehoods, untrue statements? What's the proper procedure to handle that?
First of all, you have everybody who is involved in on it. You know, by in on it, you mean present to talk about it, and you find out exactly what was said and by whom, and then call for an investigation to find out. You don't make any accusations. You just say, did this happen? And what was the cause of it happening? If it was something somebody did, well, you check that out and find out who did it and what was done, whether or not it should have been done or should not have been done, or if it was something that was said, the same thing. And don't make an accusation. Just say, what happened? Did it happen? And who did it? Who did whatever was done? All right? Because in order to have justice on the planet, you first get the correct information. And so I call it the three I's: inquiry, investigation, indictment. 1, 2, 3. Inquiry, investigation, indictment. Now, for black people, stay in the inquiry lane. Sometimes I have a problem pronouncing that word, as you can see. But that means asking questions. Don't make accusations. That's an indictment. See, when you make an indictment, you're making an accusation. You say you are guilty of this, that. Never do that. Because in the system of white supremacy, if you're black, you're going to have a hard time proving it, particularly if it's a white person that you are accusing of something. If it's a white person that you're accusing of something, you're definitely going to have a very difficult time proving it, because you're going to have to prove whatever it is, that accusation, by other white people. Otherwise, your voice is not going to mean anything anyway in the system of white supremacy, as a rule. And then that's the indictment, okay? But now the investigation also, that second eye, that should be the duty of someone else. You don't investigate. You merely make the inquiry, just like you just did by calling in today. What do you do? Did this happen? First of all, did it happen? And who do you think may have done it? Should it have happened? Whatever it was. And then you discuss it from there. You know, is that the person that did it? Was it Miss Helen Jones? Was it Mr. Henry Schumann? Was it John Smith? Whomever it was. And what did he do? What did she do? Should it have been done, whatever was done? Is that the kind of language you use? Or did you make did you do something or say something that you should not have done or said? And what was it? You know, and why did you do it? That's another thing. Why did you do or say what you did? Let them explain. If it turns out, if you find out who did it, who said it. But the first thing you want is an inquiry. You want someone to look into it. You present it, say, I have reason to believe this happened. This was said, or this was done. And I need assistance in finding out who did what, when, where, and should it have been done, or should it not have been done? And let somebody else determine that during the investigation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, sister.
Okay. The other thing was, okay, thank you for that, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Bobby, when you opened the show, did you say that 55 years ago, four little girls were killed in a bombing in Birmingham?
Yeah, I was sent that notice in this morning. Yes, in I think it was what Birmingham, Alabama, the four girls.
Yes, sir. Well, I want you to know that happened on September 15th, 1963.
Okay, thank you very much for that correction. September the what now?
September 15th, 1963.
Okay.
Glass killed four little girls.
Okay.
There were 22 other people injured, and there was a fifth little girl that was injured in the church. She survived.
Yes.
She was the sister of one of the four children, but that was September 15th,
okay.
1963.
Okay, thank you for that correction. I stand corrected. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got corrected on that. September of 1963. Okay, very good. Very good. That's why I love the listeners here, because if you make a mistake, then somebody can correct it. So that's good. All righty. All right, let's see here. Let's do this, and you may have to take this on the other side, Mr. Fuller, but I'll go ahead. Let's see here. Mr. Bobby, can you ask Mr. Fuller these questions? Number one, why do non-white people who use the counter-racist code still have a tough time solving the problems that comes with being subject to the crimes of the system of white supremacy, racism in all areas of people activity?
Because you still have the system of white supremacy. So as long as you have a problem, you have a problem. So you just keep on. We're in a war, and we have already been made prisoners of war. We were born in a prison. The name of the prison is called the system of white supremacy. There is no other government on the planet worthy of the name government except the system of white supremacy. So if you are born as a prisoner of war already in that system, because it's a wartime system, the entire system is geared toward making war on people of color, and you have already been captured before you came from the womb, if you're a person who is classified as non-white, then you have to work within that system that you're in, because there is no other system. There's no such thing as working outside of the prison. You have to work from the prison. So you're always working as a prisoner to dismantle the prison, because there's no way to get out of the prison. There's nowhere to run. You have to actually dismantle the prison and make that system, which is the prison, into another system. And that system, logically speaking, would be called the system of justice. The slogan is, the mantra is, the code is, replace white supremacy with justice. Replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. Now, what is justice? Justice is two parts, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person who needs help the most gets the most constructive help. And that's what every person on the planet should wake up every morning with that in mind, that wherever you go, whomever you encounter, you know, you go on a job, wherever you are, most people go on some type of job, most people have some type of assignment, wherever you are, keep that in mind. You're supposed to be in the process of guaranteeing that no person, any person around you, any person that interacts with you, no person is mistreated. You can usually tell when somebody's being mistreated, or you can sense it.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, I'm going to have you right there, and then we'll pick that right back up.
Right.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN. Podcasts are available. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. More of that Gmail and more of Mr. Fuller's explanation and, of course, your phone calls. All that and more coming up next.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept.
it is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Shop online at www.ashkickin.com.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 1-800-888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari and Aharo. The author of the Essence magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, we go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. I am Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Nellie Fuller, Jr. And our topic today is, on January the 16th, 2019, is Phone Calls and Gmails Volume 1. And Mr. Fuller, you want to finish your thought that you were having on that question that I asked, and then we'll move on.
Yes. I want to talk about this thing about justice. That's the only thing to center on. You don't have to talk about racism. That will come up on its own. And then you handle it according to what is in the textbook for victims of white supremacy. Selections from it on an individual basis according to your own judgment. That's what I wrote the book for, that you can get by going to producejustice.com. But having said that, I made up a definition back in 1994 for the word justice because I didn't particularly care for the dictionary, the dictionaries that I was looking in for the definition of justice. So I said that justice, in my opinion, should be made up of two parts. Part one, guaranteeing that no person is mistreated at any time for any reason. And number two, guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Underline constructive. The person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. Start with the person that needs constructive help the most. Now, how that would work, like everything in the code book is supposed to be something practical, something you can use, directed to individuals. So in answer to the question, every day, everywhere on the planet, in the system of white supremacy, starting with the victims of white supremacy, and hopefully the people who are not victims, presumably white people, they can join in if they care to, but the book is written for the victims of white supremacy, the prisoners of war.
Mm-hmm.
So you start by saying, okay, in every situation, you ask a question. Is anybody here in this work situation being mistreated? You start your day that way. All right, folks, I mean, we're all here. Good morning, everybody. I'm just giving a kind of a, you might say, ragged illustration.
Yes, sir.
But I think it makes the point. Good morning, everybody. You walk into the room. You're always courteous to everybody. Don't let anybody be more courteous than you. That's a part of the code. In every situation, don't let anybody be more courteous than you. That's your manner. That's the codified way of doing things. So you say good morning to everybody, friend and foe, whatever. All right. Now, is anybody here being mistreated here in this work facility? That might be an odd way to start the day, but it should. I think it will work wonders. Is anybody here being mistreated? Don't everybody speak at once. Just hold up your hands. We'll walk through it. And does anybody here need help, constructive help, that they're not getting? Something that's going on here in the work facility. I mean, some part of your work that you're baffled about. You don't know how to go about doing it. You don't know who to ask. So I'm asking now, as the foreman, as the president of the company, whatnot, is there anybody here who is not getting the constructive help that he or she needs? Two questions. Is there anybody being mistreated? Is there anybody here that needs help and not getting it in this work facility? And Let's go down the list of it. You know, it might be 10 people in the room, 15 people. Try to go through it as fast as you can, get the day started. But you start with the person that needs help the most. And you start with the person who is says that they're being mistreated the most. I mean, that's the way of producing a thing called justice. And you wrap that up, all of that, before that day even gets started, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
You assign somebody to take care of the person who is being mistreated, wrap that up. You know, is it 8 o'clock now or 9 o'clock? Before 10 o'clock, you want that taken care of. Okay? Everybody who says they're being mistreated, find out who's doing the mistreatment and how. Get to the bottom of that. And then by 10 o'clock, that's supposed to be taken care of. Or at least by noon.
Okay.
Okay? Or whenever you can. And the other person who needs help, and you start with the person that needs the most help, back there on that machinery or whatever it is they can't figure out, start with them first. Make sure that that person knows exactly what to do and how to do it. They're not frustrated anymore. They're not going to get a bad report again because they are frustrated and don't know how to do it because somebody's not telling them. They're not getting the correct information from the people that's supposed to give it to them. Make sure you got that, okay? So this is cleared up for the rest of the day.
All right.
Start every day like that.
Mm-hmm.
Every place on the planet. That would be that's the compensatory, codified, counter-racist way.
All righty. We got that one. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Line number one. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Mr. Bobby, Mr. Fuller. This is Reggie from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mr. Fuller, I actually was listening in just now, and I think you may have answered my question. But my question would have been around how do I, on my job, how do I proactively motivate white people to end racism, white supremacy? Now, I work in a corporate environment, 9-to-5 type of position. I don't manage people. I have somewhat of a secluded position, but I know that I work around a lot of older white women who are suspected white supremacists. My interactions are pretty, you know, avid daily, but I don't manage people, so I don't have a lot of people under me to influence. So I guess my basic question is, how do I proactively some basic things that proactively motivate them to end racism, white supremacy?
Just by what I just said, you know, you in your interaction with them, no matter whether it's a lot of interaction or just a little interaction, everything must have a constructive result. And you always solve all problems by what? I keep saying this every week. All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. You'll say, Miss Graham, you know, what are we doing today? Whatever interaction you might have on whatever level, what are we doing here in this facility? What am I doing? What am I supposed to do? What is it I'm not supposed to do? And why? All right? And is it constructive? See, that's the key word. Because anything that a black person is involved in that's constructive is a death sentence to the system of white supremacy. As long as it's constructive activity, black people are programmed to always be involved in something that is non-constructive. That's the system of white supremacy demands that. So you assume you're always in a white supremacist environment anyway, anywhere on the planet. Regardless of how tame it might look, you're still in the system of white supremacy. You're still that prisoner of war. So as a prisoner of war, you want to replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice. And the procedure is, for every black person, is what I'm doing constructive? And if it's not constructive, why is it not constructive? Why am I doing this? Is it contributing anything that is of constructive value? See, because the antidote for the system of white supremacy is constructive activity among non-white people. Anything, no matter how small, and no matter how long the day is or short and whatnot, just ask yourself all day, is this constructive? That's a question. Is this that I'm doing, is this that those people down the hall, is it constructive? And if it's constructive, how is it constructive? Who is it serving? And you just ask questions about that. And don't interfere with the answers that you get when you're talking to white people, particularly. Particularly, you ask a question, put a question mark behind it, and wait for the answer. And then have another question in mind that you're going to ask. Stay away from making statements. That's real important. Statements, you have to start explaining yourself and all like that. You say, I'm going to stay away from that.
Yes, sir.
What works smoother than anything is you have one question right after another. Why? Because the process of questions and answers usually gets, it's a faster way to get to where you need to be. It might not be where everybody wants to be, but it will certainly take them where they ought to be. And that's whether it's white or non-white.
Yes, sir. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. If you would like to get in contact with the show, you can do so by calling 1-877-932-9766, or you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. It is at this point that we have Mr. Fuller briefly discuss his book before we take the next phone call, which caller, just hang on, and we'll have Mr. Fuller speak about his book. Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
The main title of the book is called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. The revised expanded edition also has another title. In fact, there's three titles on the cover of the book. The second title is A Compensatory Counter-Racist Code. Now, that's the most prominent title you see right there in the center of the book. And it's a revised expanded edition, 2016. And down at the bottom is another title, A Textbook Workbook for Thought, Speech, and or Action for Victims of Racism. Racism being defined as white supremacy, meaning there's no other form of racism anywhere on the planet called Earth. All racism comes in two words, white supremacy. There are no other supremacies based on color other than white supremacy. So you can't get that mixed up. Some people say that, well, there are some people who are black supremacists. Well, people might call themselves that, but that's not what they are. Because you can't have white supremacy and black supremacy in the same planet at the same time. Why? Because that's not logical. That's why. That's impossible. So you forget that. You say, well, I know some people that, well, they say that they are black supremacists. Well, you don't argue with them. You just look around and see whether that's true. You know, because you can't have white supremacy and black supremacy on the same planet at the same time, nor should you have black supremacy or any type of supremacy based on color. You should have supremacy based on justice. That's all. Justice is supreme. That's an ideology. And what is that? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help each and every minute of each and every day. That will take care of everything. And when you set that as your goal, as a universal man and a universal woman operating in the universe, rather than a white supremacist and their victims, which is what all that you do have now, then you have what you should have ultimately, and that is Earth that is dominated by this thing called peace, which is what no one has ever had anywhere in recorded history. But getting back to the point, the compensatory counter-racist code is supposed to show, the textbook that is, how each individual person, each and every day, can do what it takes to dismantle this system of white supremacy. And by this constructive activity, the way you talk, the things that you do, the things you don't do, the things that you say, the things that you don't say. And this is how it's done, by individual persons, individual prisoners of war. And that's what the book is supposed to be about. All of the do's and don'ts, because everything is about do's and don'ts. Everything. Don't do certain things, and you get a certain result. Do certain things, and you get a certain result. And same way with what you say, because saying is a way of doing. How you talk to people, what you say when you talk, and what you don't say, all the words that you use, the kind of definitions you use for the words that you use, they are here in the textbook. And the addition to it, which is called the Counter-Racist Word Guide, I had to put it in a separate volume. Couldn't crowd it in all one book. It'd be too thick to carry around. But you can get the volumes by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com.
Okay.
And what will come up on the screen is the method for ordering.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Fuller. Okay. Let's see. Let's go to the callers. Okay, caller, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fuller, I have a question. I recently bought a house about 3 years ago. The plumbing pipes collapsed, and I had to go through my insurance company to get my house repiped. They recently denied it, saying because of the age of the house, they're not going to give me any financial money. My question to you, they forced me to get insurance to get a mortgage, but then they turn around and say they're not going to help me when I need an insurance claim filed. Is that not white supremacy? Because I'm using a lawyer to try and fight this claim.
According to the code, anything that happens to a non-white person in the system of white supremacy that should not happen is the fault of the white supremacists. That's not a matter of whim, and certainly might not be a matter of law, but it is a matter of logic. You have a system of white supremacy. You are a prisoner of war in that system. You're in captivity. This is a war. So the white supremacists are always abusing their prisoners of war, because it was a war that never should have been made in the first place. So you always expect that type of abuse. And when it comes to a thing like housing, I just like to say this. I think the white supremacists in the last, and this is just an opinion of mine, in the last 15 or 20 years, when black people start getting serious in the Northwestern Hemisphere about being homeowners, the so-called American dream, the white supremacists immediately got busy and started saying, what we are going to do, we're going to make them slaves to a house. I'm going to say that again. Make every black person who's kind of moving up the ladder, so to speak, and want to get out of those apartments and whatnot, and get out of those that urban setting, I mean, where the housing is completely inadequate,
mm-hmm.
and get into the new suburbias and all of that. What we're going to do, we're going to throw up a whole bunch of houses that look real pretty on the outside and completely falling apart on account of the materials that they're made of. And we're going to bait all these black people with money into these houses. And then they're going to fall down around their ears every day every time they reach for a doorknob. The doorknob is going to come off. All right, here you go, $75 right there. You know, $85, $140 here up under the sink. And the bathroom down is, the tiles are coming off. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and that type of thing. Now, that's just my suspicion, but I think it's warranted that they are going to intend to make many, not all, but many black people actually slaves to a house. It used to be making you a slave to a car payment, and that's still kind of going along, too.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, you know, you just, hey, you don't have time to drive your car except to work. And then when you get off from work, you're getting in that same car going to your second job.
Mm.
But other than that, you're just getting red light fever in traffic. That's your whole life, going from job to job, trying to pay for the car that you're using to go from job to job.
Mm.
And then every now and then, you get a little window where you get, you know, a few days off to go somewhere and do something that you want to do in your car. But for the most part, that car has enslaved you. That's like a plantation tool, all right? Because you're paying so much for it, and the car is falling apart all the time. The maintenance of it, the insurance on it, and all like that. See, that's how they're slowly baiting black people into this so-called, possession favor, disaster rather, where you become a slave to your possessions, and because you really don't own anything, you just possess it. You're using it. You're actually renting it. You're renting that car. You don't really own the car. The car owns you. The house. You don't really own it. You never own it. You're still paying all kinds of inflated taxes on it and all like that. And that's just a place that you go to sleep between jobs. And well, really, you could almost do that in a tent. If that's all you're going to do with your life, just become a slave to your possessions. So kind of watch what you try to possess. Be careful about accumulating things, piling up things. Because even when you get ready to move, and most black people have to move all the time, all right, because you fall behind in this and fall behind at that. And so you have a lot of possessions now that's sitting out there on the curb. And what happens? All right, you got to get rid of them. You got to get rid of everything that you call yourself accumulating, you know, as capital. But it's really not capital. You just got a lot of stuff. A lot of it you never really should have had in the first place. Stop buying stuff. Put that money away. You're going to need it. Stop piling up stuff. I mean, that pool table that you think about getting, forget about it. Go somewhere and play pool, somewhere else in some pool hall and whatnot. And so you walk out and leave it when you get ready. You don't have it somewhere sitting in a garage that you don't use. You can't park your car in there because the pool table's in there with a whole bunch of stuff stacked on top of it. I mean, you got to watch that. They'll tempt you into doing these things. And they do it with the ladies, too. Piling up stuff. Stuff here, stuff there. And then you got to move it because you're going to move. You're going to be forced to move. Another highway is coming through after you've been there for 8 years. All right? So you're forced to move, and you don't even know where to move. So now you've got your stuff in storage, and you're paying for that. Then that gets foreclosed on. They come and break the lock because you get behind in it and all like that. Then they auction it off. So you have to watch that, particularly in the Northwestern Hemisphere, because the white supremacists are planning on a lot of that for black people who are able to get a little bit of money.
Wow. The white supremacists are making us a slave.
Oh, yeah, and everything to do. They don't have another plan.
Yeah.
They don't have another plan other than that.
To our
position. But you have to slice into that plan and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Well, everybody's doing this, buddy. I mean, don't you want to impress your friends?
Got to leave it there for the first hour, Mr. Fuller. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio the way it should be heard. Thanks for listening, and we will see you on the other side in the second hour.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.